Take your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. We're going to read these two verses all together out loud, verses 15 and 16. 15 and 16, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin reading all together in verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we're going to continue to study these things of church membership as we work on honing and shaping ourselves, our skills, our thought, our philosophies, our ideas about what church is about, how it's supposed to be run, how it's supposed to be maintained, how it's supposed to be ordered and structured and administrated, etc. And by the way, how we all work together. Because you remember we read some scriptures about how the body is supposed to work together. And it's supposed to help one another and be a supplement or a blessing. This part is supposed to help this part, and this part is supposed to make this part function better, and it's supposed to work together, and it's supposed to be edifying to itself in love. And so it's all fitly joined together. It's put together by the grand creator, our God, and that's what a church is. And so we've talked about many different areas already. We've talked about the doctrines that hold this thing all together. We've talked about the philosophy, the covenant, the feeling, the way that a church member should feel about his or her local church. And so we've talked about all of those things. Now we've also talked about serving in the local church, and that you've got to be a member of the local church to serve in the local church. That just makes sense. All right? And so we've got to realize that we should be a member. We should join this body of believers. How would you like it if a random finger came walking down the street and said, I'd like to help your body out? And you'd be like, no, I'm going this way. You're not, get away. You know, wouldn't that be strange to see a random finger walking down the street, right? And so that would be quite odd, and you would be very afraid of that. So why would we do that if you can be a member of the local church? By the way, you can be a member of the local church. And so we want you to be a member of the local church. We want you to regularly attend church. What a wonderful thing. Just come to church. Why? Because church is great. Can I tell you something? And I'm not just saying this because I'm the pastor. I'm not just saying this because, if you will, I'm a paid staff member of this local church. I like church. Can y'all tell that I like church? Okay. Preaching is fun. Church is fun. I enjoy church. I want to be here. Every time the doors are open, I want to be here. And actually, every time I am here, the doors are open. So, but that makes sense, because I have a key. But I love it. I love coming in to study, and I love coming in to serve and make phone calls and make visits and put together things in the service. I even love coming in and picking up trash in the pews. I love that. It's not a burden for me. I love it. And because it's church, I'm serving my God in whatever capacity I can. And that's where I want all of you to be. And many of you are there with me in that task. So just to be at a general level, following the general guidelines, just being in tune with what the church is all about, that's a level one volunteer. Someone that's a part of non-service ministry, such as weekly soul winning, nursing home help, food groups, volunteers for vacation Bible school, country fair, friend day, things like that. Just serving in the local church. I mean, this is just general stuff. This is a regular church member should be a part of doing that. And that's level one. Anybody can be at level one. Amen. And that's a big, good beginning place to be at. Now, level two, there are some qualifications for level two. And level two consists of, if you will, clearing a background check and having that done because it's safety. Now you're going to be dealing with perhaps more in-service type ministries, being up in front of people, being, if you will, in not behind the scenes, but in the scene. Okay? And so we need to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward in that sense. So background checks are important. Working with people, working with children, it's about safety. And it's about being upright in things. As God told about Job, he was one that feared God, right? Eschewed evil. He was upright. He was a just man, a perfect man. And that's what we need to be. By the way, you don't need to be perfect, but complete. All right? And so we've got to realize that. But serving in the choir, being an usher, a nursery worker, an altar worker, a safety team worker, an audio video ministry worker, a baptistry attendant, all of these, maybe working on a bus route as a bus driver or a bus worker, in a soul winning nursery such. So because there's with greater responsibility, there's a greater accountability. And so we've got to realize that that's very important. And as we move along to level three, these are those that are going to be helping in Sunday school classes, serving in the Sunday school, nursery, children's church, junior church, bus church, maybe an interpreter of sorts. If anybody wants to learn, American Sign Language, I would let you come up here and interpret. That would be great. We don't have anybody that I know of that's deaf, or some pretend to be deaf, but, you know, that's okay. Come on, husbands, ladies, you should all poke your husbands at that moment in time, okay? That's, you should have done that. Did you get poked, Brother Hollington? Poor guy. He's just sitting there minding his own business, and I'm picking on him. All right. But these are folks, maybe they can also overnight chaperone someone. They've got to be loyal to the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the church program, and is expected of all volunteers. Making sure that you're in one preaching service a week. That's a very important thing. You need preaching. I need preaching. I listen to preaching. We need that in our lives. We don't need to just be always serving and putting out and not taking in. We've got to take in at some time. And things like that. But be informed of the policies and practices of your ministries, which we've been going through, the chain of command, the flexibility and willingness to provide assistance, etc., to work at these levels. You can see step by step an individual is growing in their faith. They're growing as a Christian. They're becoming more loyal to the scriptures and, if you will, less loyal to the flesh, less loyal to the world, the ideas of religion or the ideas of this world. And it's a transformation. And folks, we're all supposed to be moving in that direction. We're supposed to be conforming ourselves to the image of Jesus Christ step by step by step. And it is a process. And you know what? For some, it takes longer than others. And I'm not here to criticize how long it takes you. I just want you to keep moving forward. I want you to keep pressing toward the mark and win that prize, if you will, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we've been moving along in those, and we've kind of paused the levels of leadership there to go over these general things like the usher ministry, like an altar worker, like the nursery workers, etc. And now we're moving along to the guidelines for the children's church ministry here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. All right, how many of you already do some service in the children's church ministry here at our church? All right, raise your hand high. You should be proud. That's great. Yay, children's church workers. You know, children's church workers are great. Why? Because they take care of the kids while we have church. Amen? And by the way, they don't just babysit them. They have church for their age. All right? And so it's great. They're still learning things. They're still getting preaching. They're still learning the scriptures. But it's for their age level. And by the way, for elementary kids, that's important. Hey, tiny tots, you little 3 and 4 year olds, junior church with brother and Mrs. Dart. That's a great thing. I saw them upstairs. What were you guys doing? Running races in the hallway up there? That's good. Okay. I'm not going to let them do that in here. All right. But they can do it in junior church. Amen. That's great. I told you about Flora the other night. She told me she learned about pots. Okay. So they're learning valuable things, you gotta have your pot ready because God's going to fill it up with oil. Amen. That's a good thing. Now, so we've discussed these things. So children's church is very important and very helpful ministry here at our church. is designed to meet several goals. To provide a custom-built service that's on a child's level. And by the way, you adults, I want to commend you. All of you are, you're all my favorite, okay? Because I do preach a little bit longer than some preachers do, and I understand that, but you have a wonderful attention span. So I thank all of you for that. You say, Pastor, if you really knew how much we paid attention or not, you wouldn't say that. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. You do. I so enjoy your participation in the service. I really do. As a preacher, I've preached to less responsive crowds. Okay? And so you all are great. All right? But can I tell you something? With children, they have short attention spans. So, you know, you got to break things up. You got to, you know, do this for 5 minutes or maybe 3 minutes and then do something else and then come back to this again. You know, you got to cater to the crowd that you're preaching to. And so it's very important to provide a service that's fun, encouraging, helpful, educational, and of course spiritual, which makes them want to come back week after week after week. You know what? I want them to realize that church is fun. I do. And then when they get a little bit older, they'll still think that church is fun. And I want them to carry that on into their adult lives, that church is a great place to be, that we get to enjoy church while we're worshiping God. Amen? We should all feel that way. And Children's Church helps to do that. It provides a place for the smallest children and new children to learn how to behave in church services. Okay, they begin teaching them how to sit still, how to, you know, to conduct themselves, you know, not to just blurt out things or think, you know, they may raise their hands or... Do you guys raise your hands? Okay, you see, he's nodding his head back there. That's good. And you know, they're teaching them to grow in their self-control and being able to function in a small space. I mean, look at these guys. I'm proud of our kids. Look at them all. They're doing well. They're learning and growing and developing. And part of that is because of Children's Church. Of course, the majority is because of good parents. But and the parents teaching them, that's wonderful. But Children's Church helps with that. And we want to assist moms and dads in the raising of their children the best we can. Another thing is to remove distractions from the main service so that adults can listen to the gospel without disruption. Less disruptions is better, okay? More disruptions is not better, right? So we understand that. That's just a very elementary thing. The fourth thing is to create an environment which is easier for children to be dealt with concerning salvation. Many times, if a child can get alone with God, God can speak to them. You know, and so if there's a place designed for them, they can hear the Word of God. And they can hear it in, if you will, not in a language that they can understand, but in a language that they can understand. Did I make that clear enough? I said the same thing twice, but you know what I mean by that, okay? And we're not talking about English. We're just talking about adult speak versus child speak, okay? And there's a difference, right? I just ask my kids. I ask them all the time, why didn't you do that? Well, I didn't understand what you wanted me to do because I was speaking adult speak, not child speak, okay? So I got to figure that out. Now, and so we want them to be able to be dealt with, and our workers are ready to win young people to Christ. And we've already talked about this, but we're very careful with how we go about dealing with young people because we want to make sure that they understand that they're lost, that they're sinners before a holy God, and that they have a need of a Savior, that Jesus Christ is that Savior, and they can ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sin and give them that gift of eternal life. We're very careful with how we go about dealing with these young people. If we start talking to a young person, And you know, they don't understand what sin is and the gravity of sin and the accountability of sin before God, then we just encourage them to keep studying and keep learning about the Word. We're not going to push through for, oh, yep, we got that prayer said. Folks, that's not what it's about. It's about people genuinely getting saved. People genuinely knowing they're a sinner. People genuinely understanding that they need Jesus and they can have Jesus as their Savior. And you know what? When a kid gets to that point, I'm more than happy to lead them to Christ. We're very careful. We want to make sure that that's the case. I've heard too many times where people have had testimonies. Miss Connie, we were talking about this just the other day, of an adult that grew up in church, made a false profession of faith. They just were going with the crowd. They wanted to please someone else. And so they went forward, but they really didn't know what they were doing. And that haunted them, and they fought it for years. And they finally got it. And by the way, it's hard to overcome that. Because you say, well, I'll just use myself as an example. I've been in the ministry for 19 years. I've been in a pastor for 4 years. What would people think? You know, that stops people from getting saved. And it never should, by the way. I don't care how long you've been a member of a church. If you're not saved, get saved. Nobody here's going to judge you. You need to be born again. And you need to know that you're born again. And that's so very important. And number five, it also provides a place for church members to serve. Did you know that it's good for the body to be active? It is. It is not good for the body to be stagnant. All right? It's not good for the body just to sit around. It's good for to get the body going. Okay? Now, most of us know this, right? But as we grow a little bit older, we let things go. I can tell you I've let things go. I used to be very, very active. You say you're not now? Not like I used to be. I've slowed down a little bit in my late 40s here. Part of it was my shoulder injury that I had that kind of slowed me down. But can I tell you something? I feel the effects of it, like running down the aisle here to get up here. I was like, and I was a track and cross country runner. Running's my thing, you know, but now I can't run very far anymore like I used to. And it's my own fault. Why? Because I don't exercise like I'm supposed to. My wife says I should exercise more. She wants to keep me around longer. I probably should listen to her. That's probably a good idea. But as a church member, as a body part of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to exercise. God, you've heard this before, right? God didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. Exactly. So we got to get moving. So the usher ministry, the altar workers, the nursery, the children's church program, all these programs give church members a place to serve. Now, there are some basic guidelines for our children's church ministries. We have right now that our children's church is for boys and girls age 5 through the 6th grade. So kindergarten through the 6th grade. We have a smaller children's church, ages 3 and 4. But this is the general children's church, ages 5 through 6th grade. And children's service begins around 11:25 or so, right, Brother Frankie? And depending upon the children are released, you've seen it, Brother Camp. Announces what verse of the song we're going to stand, and the children's church kids go out with the workers that out there to the gymnasium, they'll be released around that time, and then the children's church service is going to end around 12:15 or so, and that's based upon how well I do. All right, now Brother Frankie, I'm a little bit ashamed to say this, Brother Frankie, but Brother Frankie is somewhat like me. He tends to be a little bit long-winded. Yeah, he knows that, right? Children's church workers, is that true? Amen. Okay, we got an amen or two. All right, but he'll just say he's trying to be like me, right? Is that what you're going to say? Okay, yeah, I thought so. But around that time, they check and make sure that we've dismissed, et cetera, because they're not just going to let children just run through here. Things like that. There's a decorum there, and et cetera. So I'm guessing some of this, but I'm pretty sure of it. But we have a boys' side, right? Yeah, we have a boys' side and we have a girls' side. You know what? It's okay to do that. It's okay. What are we setting a precedent for? Personal separation, right? Self-control. I mean, We need to teach them that, hey, we've got boys and we've got girls, and that's okay. By the way, that makes everything safe too. We should be above reproach in all the things that we do.
And you know what? We have guy workers that work with the boys. And we have girl workers that work with the girls. Why do we do that? For safety. And because guess what? It makes sense. And why would we tempt things and have risks that we don't need? Right? We don't need some... So if we don't need the risk, why take the risk? Right? And so we've got to make sure that things are done in a right way. Now they have goals that are set. Brother, I appreciate Brother Frankie. I appreciate Brother Michael working with our children's programs. They have goals. They have goals for the programs. They have attendance goals. They have offering goals. They have ministry goals. They have spiritual goals for the kids. They want them to accomplish something. We're trying to reach a goal to accomplish something with our young people. It was said at the conference that my wife and I attended, the marriage conference. I've said it before. You've heard it before. Can I tell you something? People say, well, Pastor, what you're doing at that church there, you're just trying to brainwash people. And I say, yes, we are. Our brains are dirty and they need washing. That's true. And what water do we use? Yeah. The Word of God. And listen, our human brains, if in our human natural carnal state, are dirty. And they need to be washed by the Word of God. We need to change our thinking, and it needs to be God's thinking, not our thinking. And so listen, we get a chance to do that in Children's Church, to give them the right information, to give them the right way to think, the right way to feel, the right way to talk, the right way to behave. We gotta change a lot of things. And it's not because you parents aren't doing a good job. We're fighting a common enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil, the TV, what they hear, what they see. It's a constant battle, a constant, I'm looking for a word. Is it inundation? Is that right? Is that the right word? Yeah, whatever. They're hammering us constantly, whatever that means, whatever word that is. I think it's inundated, but whatever it is. But it doesn't stop. There's no relief. I mean, you just open a phone and it's just right there, right in your face. And we've got to fight that so diligently. Now, they have goals and they take the initiative to get these things accomplished according to the guidelines of our local church. And you know what? They're not just allowed to do whatever they want. They got to stay within the guidelines that our local church believes. And by the way, if it's ever questionable, ask the pastor. If you ever have the inkling, any worker, any volunteer, any leader, if you ever have an inkling, should I? Don't do it. Come ask the pastor. Pastor, would it be okay if I? And I'll tell you, okay? So, by the way, there's some things that you say, well, that means you can do whatever you want. No, it doesn't mean. Listen, these men will tell you, my trustees, they'll tell you, when I have an inkling and I'm like, should I go talk to them? And I'm like, what do you think about this? I've been thinking about this. Is it, you know, and they're like, well, yeah. We go back and forth. And we, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So don't just go off and do something. I had a teacher one time. If you didn't know, I was a Christian school principal for 16 years. I had a teacher one time. She decided that she was going to, she had a student that was kind of a difficult student. And, so she decided she was going to come up with her own things to correct the student's behavior. Outside of what I had taught her, outside of what the handbook said, and outside of what the school rules. So she decided that this one student wouldn't quit leaning back in their chair in class. So she decided she was going to take away the chair and she was going to make them stand all day. Now, I suppose in the mind, that sounds like a, you know, okay, that'll teach them. But after school, the kid went home. Of course, I did not know about this. I got a phone call. From the parent. And I'm like, whoa. Okay. not a good idea. Now, she thought she was helping. And she really, she wasn't trying to hurt the child. She wasn't trying to do anything malicious. But it just wasn't a good idea. Okay, there was a lot of more difficulties to it than what she thought. Okay, another thing that she thought, is one particular teacher I had a little difficulty with. But another thing that she thought, one student wouldn't keep still. Wouldn't keep their hands still. So she decided that she was going to tape the kid's hands to the desk. Now, I mean, okay, that works. I mean, I get it. But again, not a great idea, okay? So, do you understand that I know people are trying to help. I don't ever question that people are trying to help, but there's just some things that just, let's not do that, okay? It's not a horrible, well, yeah, it's maybe a horrible idea, but let's not go that direction. Let's try something else instead. But we can talk about it. We can discuss it and things like that. It's so very important to communicate and to work together to achieve the best results possible. Because you know what? The last thing we really need is some kind of a frivolous lawsuit or something silly that could have been avoided and could have not even happened and taken place in the first place. And so we want to make sure that we try to do all that as possible. We want to try in Children's Church. The goal is to try to get all the kids as involved as possible. We want the kids to be active in the Children's Church service and to be involved in you know, standing up and doing the actions of the songs and participating in the games and practicing the sword drills and the memorizing of scripture. And we want them to you know, amen the preaching and do those. We want them to be involved in the service, in the sermon, in taking the offerings, in being a part of everything that goes on in children. Once again, the whole idea is to get them involved in enjoying, loving, being a part of church so it's ingrained in them. You know, church should be something that they look forward to. And you know what? Sometimes kids just want attention. And they want to do something. They want to please somebody. They want to serve. Kids just have a natural desire to do. We need to nurture that. And we should do it here at church. And that's an opportunity we have in our Children's Church program. Concerning music, we do have fun church songs. But can I tell you something? They are all the right kind of songs. That's important. We don't need to jazz it up for the kids. Because, oh, they're kids. They need that hoppy poppy stuff. No, they don't need the hoppy poppy stuff. They need good church music. Now, like, there are some that are more active than others, like deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Come on, Ava. I hear you smile. I hear you smile. I see you smile. I can hear you smile. It's so loud. All right, ready? Deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Look at Andrew. Andrew's there too. Hi, Andrew. Hi, Flora. Do you know that one? Wide and deep, there's a fountain flowing wide and deep. All right. You know, that's not rock music. That's not bad music. That's good, godly music. But it's, if you will, it's more for kids. Now, there's nothing wrong with adults singing deep and wide. Nothing at all. To Brother Camp's chagrin, your pastor stands up here and does you know, hand signals and raises up on his tippy toes in common hymns, you know, right? You still disapprove of that? But, you know, and by the way, every once in a while, I'll just lead everybody in a verse of Jesus Loves Me. You know, we need to kind of remember some of those old Sunday school songs, if you will. Yes, they're geared more for children and children's songs, but they're still good for the adult too. Amen? And so, you know, we don't get up here and start doing Father Abraham, you know? In Brother Camp, you're going to lead Father Abraham next Sunday, okay? One of my favorite memories of Father Abraham was at camp. And I was up there on the stage, and I was just going absolutely crazy. And I actually, on the last part, you know, the turnaround sit down. I mean, I just fell right back on the floor. It's a cement thing, and I cracked my watch bezel. Just, I mean, you just can hear it like this. Some really nice people went and bought me a watch at Walmart, and I still got it. So that was many years ago. But that's for children's church. You know, that was at junior camp. I probably wouldn't do something like that here. I mean, I'm up there, I'm hanging from the rafters and doing all kinds of things. That's the excitement of that. And you don't need rock music or rap music or the modern music to do that. You can use the right kind of music, etc. Not only do they do children's songs and things like that, but they do hymns too. It's so important. There are scripture songs. The Bible tells us to sing and make melody in our hearts in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Those are all very important. We've already talked about some of the music ministry there, and those types of things already. One of the things that we want to avoid is to get in a rut. Don't just do the same song every week, okay? Make sure you're mixing it up, the children's church workers, and getting it in there. That's very important. It's best to have a teaching and preaching time each week, an object lesson, missionary story. Remember that children have a very short attention span. So what Brother Frankie's done is they have it broken up. This person's in charge of this, and this person's in charge of this, and this person. And it helps to break up that time. And by the way, we're only talking about 45 minutes or so that they have to work with. But they get to break it up into small pieces and small chunks, so that the kids can digest things and keep their attention, and they can keep having a great time all throughout the whole program. Remember that if you're going to be absent from children's church, or you're not going to be able to fulfill your spot there, you need to notify either Brother Frankie or Brother Michael or myself as far as making sure that the preparations are made for your replacement, so that we can make sure that your spot is covered. That's just a very responsible thing to do. You should take every ministry seriously, including children's church ministry. Never get the mindset or the attitude that it's just children's church. Okay? Can I just tell you something? I don't want that mindset in any place in our church. I don't want anybody to say, well, it's just ushering, or it's just working on the bus route, or it's just driving the church bus, or it's just helping in a Sunday school class, or it's just working in the nursery, or it's just being an altar worker, or it's just singing in the choir. Listen, it's not just. This is important. Every ministry is important, so take them all seriously. It's an opportunity to serve. So just like many of the other things that we've already talked about, please realize that you're there to serve. You're not there to visit with the other workers. And by the way, you're not there just to single out one kid. You know, well, but I like this kid. I want to talk to that kid. That kid's fun to talk to. But what about the other kids? You can't just talk to one kid. You gotta deal with all the kids. And work with them, if you will, fairly. And so we need to make sure that we're working with the kids, that we are serving the Lord. We're not distracted. By the way, talking with other workers can be a distraction. We can get sidelined from what we're really supposed to be doing. And we lose track of something. And by the way, that's when bad things happen, when we're not paying attention. And so we want to make sure we're serving the Lord and doing our best while we're serving the Lord. Remember, we're dealing with small children, not teenagers. We want to make sure that we're keeping them corralled in their areas. Okay. Now, dealing with young kids can be very difficult. Okay. And so we got to be careful how we handle them, careful how we deal with them. Sometimes they can be a little bit obnoxious, but we need to deal with things appropriately in all ways. And so we want to make sure that we're working with this. Remember that we're never alone with a worker, with a child. That we always have two people. We have accountability. that provides safety, not only for the workers, but for the kids, and for our local church. All of those things are very important. I don't know why this is here, but I'm going to read it because I think it's funny. Okay? Brother Raspberry wrote these. I've edited some of them, but I left this one alone because it tickled me. He says, number 18, lastly, we will not burn any Barbie dolls to illustrate hell. I just thought that was funny. I guess somebody has done that. Now, he does say that this has never happened here, and we want to make sure that it never does. But I guess someone somewhere did that. So we're not going to do that, okay? Brother Andrew, we're not burning any Barbie dolls to illustrate hell, okay? Huh? I'm sorry. So we're not doing that. That's the final guideline there, okay? Now, safety guidelines. Let me just make sure we go over these really fast, and then I'll have a couple of scriptures for us to look at, and we'll be done tonight. Men or boys are not to be alone with any child, of course, except their own. Boys or girls, for any reason, at any time, because we're going to abstain from even the appearance of evil. Okay, that's very important. And listen, a lot of these things, it's not about the individual. It's about what it appears like to others, because we live in a very cynical society. And a society that says, oh, look, they did that. We just want to keep away from all of those things. And so these are just general good guidelines to go by. Men are not to hug children, if you will, and place them in their laps, because again, that's something that's an appearance, and of course, except your own. All right? Now, here's the thing about that. In a public forum, now, again, I know that you have to realize I have lots of children. So I'm going to go and I'm going to hug one of my own children. But for the most part, people know that that's the case. Okay? But also realize there are some really evil, wicked, bad people out there. And so we've just got to be above reproach in everything we do. So that's the mindset that we're thinking of. And no student is to just leave unattended. So, I mean, kid starts walking toward the door. Guess what, worker? Don't let him go out the door. You know, you've got to make sure that kids are always adult supervised and that they're safe and that they have that kind of supervision. After children's churches, we're to make sure that all children get to their families or where they're supposed to go. Maybe they're bus kids that are riding on the bus. Well, guess what? They need to get to the bus workers. And they need to, you know, be on the, we need to make sure, hey, now don't raise your hand, but unless you really want to, but how many of you have ever left a child at church? Right? I mean, yeah, I did one time. Who'd you leave, Mom? Oh, hallelujah. It wasn't me. Okay. But I did this once. It wasn't at church, but it was at school, which was at church. One of the kids, they were supposed to be in the truck when we went home. Who did we leave? Was it Oliver? Yeah, he wandered off. He just did his own thing, and I just took off without him. I thought he was in the truck, but he wasn't. So I mean, I've been there before. We don't want to be the reason why a kid gets left behind or gets, you know, anything happens. That we want to keep and maintain that at all times. And so make sure that the children get to their parents. And by the way, once you tag the parents, it's on the parents, okay? But here's the thing we can do to help. We can always keep an eye out. You know, I don't mind if any of you keep an eye out on my kids. I think it's great that we should watch, take care of each other's children, etc. That's a good thing. And so those are very important. A lot of times, between ministries is when things slip through the cracks. We've just got to be aware and be alert to all the things that are happening. If you will, the changing of the guard, sometimes that's when things go wrong. So we've got to make sure to keep our guard up all the time. Everyone is supposed to be in their place at church. If they're in Sunday school, they should be in Sunday school. If they're in the nursery, they should be in the nursery. If they're in the service, they should be in the service. If the children's church, it's the children's church. If you see someone wandering out of place, say to them, you need to be in your place. And you know what? That's okay. And if they get offended, whoop-de-doo. You know why? Safety. It's about safety. And I'm sorry if you get your feelings hurt, but you know what? Don't get all brustled up if someone says, aren't you supposed to be in church? Well, I need to go here. Well, okay, that's fine, but go there and get back to where you're supposed to be. But don't get mad. Who is that so-and-so? Well, that so-and-so happens to be the head usher. That's their job, you know, to make sure you're where you're supposed to be. And so just make sure that we're always taking care of things. If there is some sort of incident or some sort of difficulty, make sure we have the proper paperwork to go with it. Paper trails are important. Getting the right account of things and the statements and the testimonies of people and that are involved, etc. Listen, those are all things that are just part of sin. And I hate that we have to do that kind of stuff. But it's the world and reality that we live in. And guess what? This is all of this has to do with putting our best foot forward for the cause of Christ and being above reproach in everything. And listen, I don't mind being open and honest with you about everything that goes on around here, because we need to be open and honest. Sometimes churches get in trouble because they keep things quiet, keep things, you know, locked in closets. And then somebody opens the closet and goes, wow, I didn't know it was that bad. Huh? Can be. So we need to do our diligence, especially in the area of dealing with children. Well, with that said, turn your Bibles over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to wrap this up. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is giving out the outlines of things for the children of Israel to follow as God has given it to him. And in chapter 6, this is a great chapter to just meditate on and think about. But he gives some introductory comments here about the commandments and statutes and judgments of God. And he's trying to teach the adults this, if you will. But then he goes on in his discourse and he continues to tell them that it's important for them to pass it on. So look at verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord, our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." So he says, this is how you're supposed to be. And by the way, adults, this is how we're supposed to be. And then he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So he says, this is how you're supposed to think. This is how you're supposed to live. This is how you're supposed to act. This is how you're supposed to behave. Adults, you set the example. Make sure it's in you, coming out of you, that you're living it, believing it, thinking it, doing it, all those things. And then he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." So he says, look, you better own it, you better believe it, and then you need to pass it on to the next generation so that they own it and that they believe it. Because he says this, he says, "Thou shalt diligently talk of them, teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee a great and good, goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." So he says, look, this is important to pass this on from generation to generation to generation to generation, lest you forget. And listen, folks, that's the obligation that we have to the next generation. So if we don't do our part, if we don't uphold these guidelines, uphold this way of thinking, these policies, then the next generation is the one that's going to suffer. And you know what? If we don't do our diligence, then there may not be a Lighthouse Baptist Church for these kids to serve in. And their kids to serve in. And their kids to serve in. Because the church closed its doors. Can I just tell you something in closing? There are more churches without pastors and that are closing their doors than ever before. Here in America. And that's sad. It shouldn't be that way. We should be gaining ground on this thing, not losing ground on it. Why are we losing ground? Sometimes it's because these policies and procedures and these guidelines are just cast aside. And they need to be brought to the forefront. And it's important how we conduct ourselves in the local church.